This is Chris Hughes with the Christian Perspective Podcast with Chris Hughes, where we encourage our listeners to engage the culture with Jesus Christ. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds, so enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Nikita Koloff here, questions and answers, Q&A with Koloff, the devil's nightmare. Yeah, this is exciting for me today. I've got maybe I'll call him a super fan. I don't know. Gene Stover is with me today, and we're just going to chat for a bit and let him fire some questions at me. Gene, welcome to Q&A with Koloff.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you with. Hey, Gene, for our listeners, where are we connected? Where are you living? To give our listeners a little backdrop on Gene Stover.
Oh well, I'm in Marshall, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half due west of Indianapolis, Indiana, and about 2.5 hours straight east of St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, so that gives kind of, for those who are geographically, is that the right word? I'm no scholar for sure.
That sounds good to me.
that at least gives people an idea where Gene, where you're living, where Gene's at. So, very cool. And Gene, what keeps you busy back home?
I'm a farm boy.
Oh, a farmer. Okay.
Yes, sir. We farm about the ballpark of 3,000 acres of grain.
Wow.
We finish upper toward 20,000 fat hogs a year. And
Say it again.
We finish about 20,000 fat hogs a year.
That's what I thought you said. Wow. Okay.
Yes, sir. Feeding America.
Feeding America. Wow.
Yep, and we also feed we feed cattle too. We send cattle the same way, just not that many.
Good.
It definitely keeps us busy.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I mean, thousands and thousands of acres, and so family business, or how many generations have been farming, Gene?
Well, I'm. It's not my family. I am working for the farmer. To answer your question, though, they're five generations into this farm.
For real, five generations.
Yes, sir, five generations.
Okay, well, who just tell them thank you. Thank you for helping feed America. Can you pass that on from the Russian nightmare?
And I can definitely do that.
Well, I appreciated it. I'm guessing, of course, I've never spent a day, you know, trailing and watching, but I imagine you do earn your keep out there on the farm.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's full days. I mean, if you sit back and you think about it, it's rewarding. You know, I mean, we're doing good things. You know, we're putting a lot of meat on tables around the world. You know, today it's not just the United States; it's around the world today.
Yeah, I mean, it's become a world economy in a sense, right? So
yep, and you know, same thing with the grain. You know, we put a lot of corn out also.
And ship it all over the world.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So Gene, so when do you have time to watch wrestling, Gene? It sounds like you're out, you know, tilling the fields every day. And when have you had time to watch wrestling?
Well, I'll tell you, I watched wrestling when wrestling was real wrestling, and I was quite a bit younger then. In the 80s, I'll tell you right now, I didn't miss wrestling very much. I was still in school, and I always left. And my father, he was not exactly a sports fan.
Okay.
But me and him come from the movement Saturday night about 5 o'clock in the evening. I was in front of the TV, and I was there until a little after 7 in the evening.
Wow.
And me and him kind of made peace with that, and that's just the way it was.
I hear you. And so did you have any favorites that like names that just pop up? Yeah, well, you know, other than present company accepted, of course, Gene. But did you have any other names that were kind of favorites of yours that come immediately to mind?
Oh yeah, Dusty Rhodes for one. I was a big Dusty Rhodes fan.
Okay.
The Rock and Roll Express.
Ricky and Robert. Yep.
Yes. The Road Warriors.
Animal and Hawk. Oh, what a rush!
Oh yeah, they was two awesome individuals that when I was in high school, a short story with them. But when I was in high school, I was on the weightlifting team, and you know, you hang up a poster here and there, you know, of one thing or another in the weight room, and
I to motivate a, you. I had a, yeah.
Yes, sir. I had a picture of the Road Warriors hanging on the wall in the weight room. And that was my goal. I wanted to be like Road Warrior Animals, especially.
Come on. Well, a picture of them guys with the Mohawks and probably the spiked shoulder pad should motivate anybody. I'm just saying, you know, paint on their face.
Hey,
right?
They don't come easy.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of work. Well, and now my experience, Gene, with being around, because I, you know, I've been around some farmers, and man, you guys just have, you know, either growing up or working on a farm, just raw strength, man, like natural raw strength. I'm like, whoa. And some that never even touched a weight in their life, but throwing around bales of hay, they might as well have been in the weight room for all their life. You know what I'm saying? You can probably understand what I'm saying, right?
Yes, sir. Actually, by me doing that, when I got into the high school and they come to me and wanted me to join the weightlifting team, that kind of gave me a step above the team members that was raised in town. You know, I mean, they hit the weight room, you know, earlier than I did maybe, but they was bench pressing, you know, 150 or 175 pounds or something, you know, and I was throwing around, you know, 100-pound bales of hay, 75-pound bales of hay.
Like it was nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, they would be in the weight room for, you know, 30 minutes a day or whatever, and I was throwing hay for 6-8 hours a day.
Wow. So you already had, if you might say, a leg up on them already when you hit the weight room. So.
I did.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I know the Warriors, you know, of course, they're at this point, they're walking streets of gold. Both of them made a profession of faith prior to their passing. And so, you know, they're enjoying where they're at right now while we get the opportunity to enjoy this conversation, right? So.
Right.
Well, let's get to a question for me, Gene. Fire away at your first question. I have no idea what you're going to ask, just by the way, for the listeners. So, but fire away your first question.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, before I ask you my first question, I'm going to tell you what, when I found out that I was going to do this with you, I sat down and started making a list of some questions. And literally, I went from two pages of notebook pages of questions down to a few to fit in this podcast.
Well, you're not. That just means, Gene. That just means I'll have to have you back on another time. Fair enough.
And hey, yes, I would love to. Okay. I sat down and fired questions these whole day, Mr. Koloff.
Well, so you've narrowed it down to maybe your top two or three. Okay, so.
All righty, I can do that.
All right, go for it.
What did you like better, being a babyface or a heel?
You know, I really, honestly, I enjoyed them both. I'm glad I got the experience both, being on the good side of the tracks and, if you will, and on the bad side, because they were two different, very different experiences, especially how. Back in those days, anyway, especially how you related to the fans, right? Like as a bad guy, you know, I wanted to, you know, my goal was to be hated by everybody, right? And I guess I accomplished that because at one point I was the most voted most hated, you know, in the world of wrestling, you know, number one most hated. And of course, I fed off that, but then fed into that, too, by, you know, somebody tried to get my autograph and just give them that stoic, you know, Russian nightmare look, you know, with the eyes and to try to run them off. So I'm glad I had that experience. I am glad I had the experience on the other side, you know, to be a fan favorite. And someone just posted just the other day, maybe it was yesterday on social media, you know, Twitter, Instagram, some of their favorite magazines. And I glanced at it and under most popular, so obviously I already became a good guy at this point, right? Under most popular, at the top was Hulk Hogan. And at number two, coming in at number two, was yours truly, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff, as most popular in that particular edition of the wrestling magazines. And so I'm glad I got to experience both sides of it. So I can't say I enjoyed one more than the other.
I see. Well, you've done something there that most wrestlers don't get in the top five of baby faces or heels, and you have been in the top three at a minimum of on both sides.
You know what, Gene? I never thought about it. Like honestly, till you said that, you're right. Number one most hated. And I don't know if I actually officially ever climbed to number one, but I know in this particular edition, I at least was just behind the Hulkster, you know, brother, right? So,
right.
Well, very cool. Well, great question. What else you got, Gene?
Do you have any regrets of something that you wished in your wrestling career? Something that you would have done that you did not get to before you retired?
Another great question. You know, a lot of times people will ask this. Of course, you know, I had the world tag titles, the world six man, had the I beat Wahoo McDaniel when we unified the national heavyweight title, having won the U.S. title, get the best of seven against Magnum. I had the world TV title, unified that against Terry Taylor at Starrcade when he had the UWF TV title. So I had a lot of world titles. The only one I didn't have was Ric Flair. You know, take that one off his waist. And a lot of people will ask me, do you ever regret, you know, not winning the world heavyweight title? Actually had opportunities to do that. And I'm not referring to the plethora of matches I had against him, because I had a more matches than I can count against the Nature Boy, one of the best of the best of the best. But he offered it to me not once, but twice. And Gene, believe it or not, I turned it down. And some might look back on that and go, oh man, I wish I hadn't. But honestly, you know, I have no regrets in gracefully saying thank you, but no thank you. Now, you know, would have been fun to win it? Sure. Would have been fun to add that to the list of accomplishments? Sure. But I look back at my wrestling career, honestly, I don't know. I can't really say that I have any regrets. I'm just very grateful and very thankful that I had the career that I had.
Yes, you did have a really good career.
Thank you.
You really did. Now, and that brings me to my next question. When you was in the 80s, when you was wrestling, I don't have to tell you the cast of characters you had around you. You know, you had the Four Horsemen, the Road Warriors, Rock and Roll, Midnight Express, all of them.
Lex Luger.
Did you have
Sting?
Did you have? Oh yeah, Lex Luger. You know, you had all of these guys around you. Did you have any idea at that point in time that would be the most talked about era and called the golden era of wrestling? When you guys was all in there in your prime doing that, did you have any idea that in 2021 they would still be talking about it and wishing it was still like that today?
I didn't, Gene. And man, again, talk about being thankful, grateful, humbled, like for real, like, you know, to have this conversation with you. And I mean that in all sincerity, to be able to have this conversation with you as a longtime loyal wrestling fan and so many others going out to do Legends autograph signings, these newest things, virtual signings, and just to hear a lot of your insight and what you loved about wrestling is probably one of the biggest blessings for me. And if I've heard it once, what you just referred to, I've heard it I don't know, 1,000 times or more, the golden era of wrestling. And certainly, I would have to say, at least from my perspective, not one of us really ever thought, well, you know what? You know, probably 30, 35 years from now, people are going to be talking about this. You're going to have your podcast. You're going to be interviewing wrestling fans. And Gene, in a gazillion years, I never would have dreamed this, nor known that people would still be so loyal. And that's what I really appreciate about all of you, so loyal in following us and continuing to support us all these years later. It keeps me humble, Gene. Keeps me humble.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Who was your toughest opponent?
Oh boy, you know, to narrow it down to one would be difficult. You know, we've already listed quite a number of guys that and they're, you know, they're tough in different ways, right? I mean, I'd wrestle Ric Flair for 60 minutes. More times than I can count. That was tough. I mean, like, for real. You want to talk 285 pounds wrestling for 60 solid minutes? It took some tenacity, took some perseverance to do that. Physically tough. I mean, you mentioned two guys who you pinned up their poster in the weight room, the Road Warriors. I mean, some of the strongest guys, you know, Animal 23-inch arms and bench press, you know, a gazillion pounds, and Hawk. Some of the Samoans and Tongans that I got in the ring with. I mean, there were some tough guys. Dory Funk Jr., who was tough in a different way. I mean, I wrestled some pretty tough guys with amateur wrestling backgrounds. Mike Rotundo, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, right? And the list just goes on and on and on for who I was fortunate to get in the ring with. So, man, you're firing some great questions. We got time for one more, Gene. One more question, and then we'll have to have you back on again.
You're killing me. One question. Which one do I ask? Okay. You're going to think this one's funny. I know you are, but I promised my son I would ask this. All right. Down deep inside, right now.
Okay.
Do you have any desire at all to throw on the wrestling boots and challenge Nick Aldis?
Nick would not stand a chance. I'm just saying, even at my age, Nick would not stand. He's a consummate professional. He's the modern day Ric Flair. Like, for on a serious note, kudos to Nick. I really appreciate his interviews. I appreciate his passion, his love for the business, how he carries himself. You know, he really is. And when I say a modern-day Ric Flair, I think he's personifies what Rick represented back in that golden era of wrestling. And so my hat's off to Nick. And you know, 10 years ago, you know, 15 years ago, maybe if you'd asked me that question, I maybe would have considered it. But consider this. Gene, I am one of the few, if not maybe even the only one, I don't know. I'm one of the few who actually retired and stayed retired. So I don't know that I don't know that I would want to tarnish that, because I say all the time I've been coined the Barry Sanders of pro wrestling. Now, you probably know that name, Barry Sanders, right?
Oh, yeah.
Being from where you're at, are you a Chicago Bear fan?
No, sir.
No? Who's your favorite team? Do you have one?
Yeah, I am a 49ers fan. 49ers?
Now,
and I'm going to tell you why.
Please do. Keep it short, but tell me why, Gene.
Okay. You have said more than once the reason you didn't go to the WWF is your loyalty to Crockett.
Yep.
For all those years, right?
Correct.
Well, I'm loyal to San Francisco because I was a Joe Montana fan.
Okay. All right.
He was in college. I was a Joe Montana fan, and they drafted him, and everybody knows what he's done. And just because that one player had retired and everything, I still stuck with the 49ers. I've been there. I've been a 49ers fan almost as long as I've been a
You know what? I appreciate that answer. I do. Well, like one of my buddies, Gene Legan, who wrestled in the NWA for many, many years, who's from Salisbury, North Carolina, all these years has been a Green Bay Packer fan, right? I'm like, Gene, you're from the Carolinas, bro. How can you be? And he had just a similar story. Let me end on this note, a Joe Montana note. Joe, get this. Joe Montana actually inspired me.
Really?
Uh-huh. You want to know how?
How's that?
When I was growing up as a kid, you may not appreciate this, Gene, but when I was growing up as a kid, I'd watch these professional athletes. I'm like, why can't these guys like retire on top? Why can't they walk away, you know, as a champion? I want to say for the record, Joe Montana was one of the best of the best, but Gene, I'm like, Joe, you don't look right in a Kansas City Chief uniform, bro. You look right in a 49er uniform. Anyway, I say that to say him, Jerry Rice. I'm like, Jerry, you don't look right in a Seahawk uniform. You're a 49er. All that to say, for reals, it was those kind of stories that I said to myself as a kid, when I make it. Now, back then, I thought it would be pro football. I didn't know it would be pro wrestling. But I said, when I make it, I will walk away on top, you know, if you will, as a main event, if not a champion, which is why, Gene, I left at age 33, which is unheard of, right, for that business?
Right.
But that was the number one motivator as to why, because I had set a number, I said 35. 35 will be the max that I'll get out of active in-ring wrestling. And I beat that goal by a year and a half. So there you go. So,
yep.
Well, hey, we will have you back on, Gene. You fired some great questions. And, man, keep feeding us across America and around the world, okay?
I'll do that.
All right, Gene. Well, God bless you. Thanks for the time. And I'll look forward. I'm serious. I'll look forward to talking to you again. And we'll get to more of those questions, okay?
Well, I look forward to
throwing them at you. All right, Gene. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
This is the Truth Network.